members of the Bible Church who I didn't realize had the same problem we have. They have no power either.
They're so aren't bloody over also in the churches.
We're glad you're here with us. Glad you're here with us.
They said I didn't lose your power.
That's the power we pray.
Right.
The word is preached. It is anointed by the Holy Spirit, goes right to the heart, able to change a life in a moment, or heal a body, whatever is needed. Thank you for that. I want to read one psalm. The series we've been working on is a series on worship. This is not a centerpiece of that series. I knew I could not stay here for 45 or 50 minutes. You all close by. So with the air conditioner humming next week, we'll get to the next part of that. But I want to read Psalm 8. It's familiar, and many of you will know it as I read it, reading the ESV. Here is the Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you are mindful of? Son of man that you care for. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, birds of the heavens, fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now you'll notice this text is an inclusive type text. It starts with one verse, ends with the same verse. Kind of closes the deal. And this is we're going to look at it as a prayer, which is what the Psalms were as they were spoken or written down, prayers of God's people. Through a long time. Many of them are David's prayers. We're pretty sure which ones, but we're not always positive about those things. But as a shepherd with his sheep, as a young shepherd, he somehow established or had a relationship with God. It was pretty amazing. He was a man who would be what God wanted. A man who worshiped. Man who sinned. Man whom God used in powerful ways in the development of his nation, his people, and making him finally king. David. And here David is at worship and at prayer, we could call it. And I think I can say it this way. Prayer is the most basic worship. We are acknowledging that God hears our prayer, this God we serve. We are acknowledging that because he hears it, I'm going to get help for these things I have. We are exercising trust in prayer, confidence in believing that what we're praying will be done. David did that a lot. David was a man who had a relationship with God that was pretty amazing. And here in Psalm 8, he begins singing his prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Remember that one? So he didn't start singing with it. It's a good song. And then he says, you've set your glory above the heavens, and you use entrance and nursing babies to give you praise to defeat your enemies. Pretty amazing. Voice of love expressed in those things. They're satisfied when they're getting food, right? Hear them gooing and awing praise to God. That's what David was talking about. Amazing way. You have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Let me just say what this psalm is as I sing it today. I got up early enough to go in the dark and set the little lamp I used to. I don't know how in the world we ever worked homework by a lamp like that. You just kind of light the lamp, you know, got the globe on it. You're sitting like this to see what you're trying to see in order to jot down. Psalm 8 is a worshipful meditation on the night sky. I'm going to tell you why I say that. On the night sky. In verse number 3, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, David talking to God, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. No mention of the sun. It is the night sky as a shepherd watches over his sheep on the hillside. And he's contemplating God. He's contemplating who this God is, how majestic he is. Singing, praying, that understanding of his majesty. Now, if you followed up and read the next two psalms, we don't have time to do that, 9 and 10, you would find the contrast to this meditation on a night sky and the peace of that and the calmness of that with all the things that go on in a person's life. The lying and the stuff that happens in the world is all there in Psalms 9 and 10. You put the two together, this meditation on God and this living life in the midst of the battle, and you've got the human life basically as it carries itself along in this world we're in. Together, life is like that. Worship involves talking to God, giving praise, talking. Like prayer involves talking to God. This beginning of worship, this response to God. David in Psalm 8 is telling God about God. You ever done that when you pray?
Yeah.
We just did it in the opening when I sang that opening verse. Oh God, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Thank God doesn't know that. No, David's saying it to him because that's who God has revealed himself to be. That's why he's Yahweh, the living God. So he lifts his voice and tells God about God. And he recognizes in doing that God is his deliverer and his Redeemer, his God, is Yahweh, the true and living God. The God who finally identifies himself as I am. Second thing is this, David's praying. He's talking to God as if he were sovereign. He's declaring to God his sovereignty. God is sovereign over what?
Everything.
The whole earth. Everything that's on earth. Heavens above. And all that is created. He's a sovereign God. He's not a passive ornamental God that many folks serve or try to, or at least acknowledge. But he is the managing director, controller, and detailed planner of the world in all its aspects and all its activities. God is the sovereign God.
Amen.
Which the psalmist said makes it possible for him to do whatever he wills. Right? Because he's got the power to do it. He's sovereign over everything. He is the God who is majestic and mighty, sovereign. Thirdly, he is the one and only God in all the earth, not according to any given nation's description of God, or any society's idea of God. We don't design Him. But according to His name, according to the way He has revealed Himself, we can say what David knew. There ain't another God.
Amen.
There's only one God. That's my God. That's a God who's meeting me out here under the starlit sky as I watch over these sheep. That's a God who's putting something in my heart that will one day resound in God's plan to be the heart that He wants. Getting Him ready. Preparing Him. Revealing Himself in His name. There is no God, brothers and sisters, we know this. There is no God apart from the God we discovered in the Bible. There is no other living, true, sovereign, one-of-a-kind God. He is the God that's true. Here's a little, I don't know where this portrait comes from. I'll find a brief note. You may know it. It sounded like a song, but I haven't sung it, so I don't know what it is. Here's the line. Jehovah, great I am, by earth and heaven confess. I bow and bless your sacred name. Only one. Holy name of God, we bow before Him. Bless His name. Bless His person. Bless His being. Oh, there's one other component to worship. This is the guy that's praying, letting God, God is like. Telling God about God. But here's the attitude of the person doing the praying. There is a need in worship and in prayer to have the right estimate of ourselves as the human beings that approach Him. What is man that you are mindful of? Now that's David's question first. This whole psalm points to the man who's coming. Son of man, sent by God to redeem us sinners. We're talking about Jesus there. But in initial use, and it's a journey toward that time when we have Jesus on the throne and all is finished. So then, we have this component of seeing ourselves as we go. Why, how is it that you have time to look my way? How is it that I am worth anything like that? Now, Armin knows all about the word. Humility. Humble, Armin. When you pray and you're going to tell God about what it's like, you've had some revelation of what it's like. You've had a relationship ongoing with Him now. So when you pray, you're going to tell Him what He's like. You can do that. There are lots of references in Scripture to what God is like. References to how we approach God, what we say about God. Your sovereign is a great thing to say to God. He knows that, but He likes to hear your heart confess it. At the same time, you recognize a sovereign God has picked up a sinner.
Yeah.
Who has nothing to bargain with and has nothing to offer to God in exchange for anything God might give him. Can't do it. So he comes to that point where he says, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned him with glory and honor. As he just asked the question, what is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, pointing to Jesus, that you care for. This translation, ESV in verse 5, says you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. Some translations say what? A little lower than
angels.
Angels. And one other. A little lower than God. In the margin of this Bible, it gives us that reference because that's the way it's translated in some places. And a little lower than God. A little lower than the angel. If it's Jesus we're talking about, then we know He stepped down to be a man a little lower than God. If God created man as
in His image than just below God. A little lower than God is this human creation, this folk, people. We are not God, but we're made in God's image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is? How is it that He made us a little lower than Himself when we're so nothing? But the humility of a praying person recognizes what God has done is an amazing, astonishing work of the Sovereign Lord, who is my God. David just drew near to Him in the nights, fighting off at the same time those that came to take His sheep. There's a deep, prevailing wonder in the hearts of those of us who come to realize that we are not worth what God has done, that we have nothing to bargain with, that we are sinners who are now, by the grace of God, seated with Him in heavenly places.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
That's the beauty of it, isn't it? Such a God who concerns Himself with such a thing. I do mention that to him. I do feel that way. Some would say, look, you can't, you've got to see yourself as that. No, you're going to see yourself as having been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, because a gracious God found you in your sin and brought you to Himself and made you His child. You're in the family.
Yep.
Thank you.
And you're thankful for His truth.
Yep.
End of sermon.
Amen.
Is that about the right length?
Yeah.
That cooler.
Shall we keep preaching? Now, when you go today, when you have a time off, a little bit tomorrow, try to find a quiet time. Just thank the Lord for what He's done in this nation and pray for it on purpose, please. Let's do that every day. Pray for the nation, United States of America. I'm proud to be an American, proud to be a Texan. I was born and raised here. I'm still here. But I am most of all delighted in the new Jerusalem, the hope we have of that kingdom. It's not Texan, and it's not American. Mm-hmm. It's much more than that.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. What are we going to say?